It's the mighty power that can save the day. In fact, they're always riding hot on Venom's trail. We're talking Mask. Hit it. It was 1985. Coca-Cola introduced New Coke. Nintendo made its North American debut. Route 66 was taken off the American highway system, and Kenner debuted its Mask toy line and cartoon. We got to see the laser rays fire away. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Joining me is a very special guest, Michael Kristelman. You might know him from the way awesome blog, The Wonderful World of Nothing. Michael, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm doing all right myself. This quarantine treating you all right?
I'm getting paid to stay at home, which is very weird. So, but I'm living.
Hey, we don't mind when that happens sometimes.
Exactly.
unless it's too long, and then we do mind.
Yeah, which I think it already has been, but I don't know when it's going to end either.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully soon, and hopefully before Christmas. That'd be something.
Yeah, I was hoping like maybe by July 4th, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately. But yeah, it is what it is, I guess. And if we can.
Exactly.
We do what we can, and hopefully we save lives in the process, right?
Exactly.
All right. So today, we're talking Mask. You remember Mask?
Yes, I do. I had four toys. I think they came along like the last year or two that I really, really played with toys. But I had four of them. Matt, the leader of Mask and the leader of Venom. So I was all set.
Nice. Yeah. As long as you have Duke and Snake Eyes and G.I. Joe and Optimus Prime and Megatron and Transformers, you're all set. So yeah, right on. Well, I'm very blessed that my parents kept some of my old toys. And so I actually have the Matt Tracker with this Thunderhawk here and Brad Turner with this Condor bike.
Yep.
The one that turned into the motorcycle here. And my kids are really enjoying playing with them, I'll tell you.
Good.
But let's talk about why we're
those were the two masks I had.
Nice. Right on. Yeah, the bike was always so cool to me, just the sleek green machine. And they're missing lots of parts now, but the kids still like playing with them.
Yeah.
So yeah. But let's talk about why we're actually discussing Mask. It was developed by Kenner in 1985, and that same year, the TV show, the cartoon, actually debuted as well. And as G.I. Joe before it did, it was kind of the whole purpose for the show was to sell the toys. Kenner, really interesting thing about Kenner is that they were actually bought out by Hasbro in 91, and they sort of tried to do a reboot of Mask called Vortech. That didn't quite work out as well because it didn't quite have the same elements that Mask had. So Mask stands for mobile. It's Mobile Armored Strike Command. Command, of course, with a K like Mortal Kombat. you got to be cool. It was the 80s. Everything with the C starts with a K. But but they had a few series. I think it was like four series. And really, the reason we're talking about it on this show in particular was because it was the fifth best-selling toy according to 3,000 different U.S. retailers. And that was, they were interviewed by Toy and Hobby World magazine. And in 1986, that was their thing. It was their fifth best-selling Christmas toy. So, I got one for Christmas, and I think it counts. So we're going to go ahead and talk about Mask today.
I think I received at least one of them for Christmas, but Christmas, my birthday is the day before Christmas.
Nice.
And my parents like to mix up what they get me. I'll say, you know, I want this for my birthday, I want that for Christmas. It always switched around. So I probably got one or two around those times.
Right, right. I got you. Nice. You know, I remember the cartoon. And I think what made it work was that it was kind of a combination of G.I. Joe and Transformers. You know, it kind of had that military-esque, you know, special ops vibe to it, but, you know, it had the transforming cars. So it was like the best of both worlds with very few of its flaws. The cartoon actually kind of, I mean, it's not great, but it still kind of holds up.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of them the last week, and they're interesting.
So what I remember from the show, and it was pretty much the same plot structure as G.I. Joe. So this is almost like a spiritual kind of a sequel to our G.I. Joe episode. But essentially Venom, who is Mask's evil counterpart, they go after some sort of MacGuffin. And although I think they ventured a little more into the mystical than G.I. Yes. Joe did. But Mask was the one that had to stop him. And there was usually a setback. Maybe someone got injured. And then they'd save the day in the end.
Yep, exactly. Well, I like that Venom, they could give lessons to Austin Powers about ransom, because it was like 50 million, 100 million instead of, you know, $1 million.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And of course, by today's standards, that's still pretty low, you know. Bill Gates, that's 50 very million? True. Oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my briefcase.
Yeah. I'll Zell that over to you right now.
Here's a floppy disk.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, floppy disks or something.
Yes.
You remember Oregon Trail?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. I always died. It, like, every time. I never survived Oregon Trail. So whether you're...
I played that a couple of months ago. I found a website that would have it.
Really?
I died. So, yeah.
Well, if you're ever trying to recruit me into Mask, probably don't, because I'll probably die. So just save me instead. But
there you go.
I think my favorite character out of the whole show, and the reason was because I got this character specifically, I remember, for Christmas, was Matt Tracker. You know, like you were saying, okay. He's, you know, the leader, the main good guy, the millionaire who, after his brother died, decided to devote his life to fighting crime and terrorism. Yes. But he was my favorite because not only did he have that, that cool, what was it? Was it a Trans Am?
A Trans Am, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Not only did he have that and the wings went up, you know, and the doors went up and became wings, but to me, he had the coolest mask. Like it just did the best stuff, you know.
Yes.
Spectrum could levitate him and all sorts of other cool stuff. And I remember that the different figures, he would be in different outfits.
Yeah.
And then he'd have different masks. And there was this one that I got for Christmas, I believe, in 87. Because it was already when they were starting to decline in popularity.
Okay.
But he had this mask that almost looked like a bat or a wolf kind of a thing. Okay. And it kind of reminds me of the when Azrael took over as Batman in the 90s, you know, it was like the early mid 90s and Bruce Wayne's back was broken and Azrael took over and he had like this cool, you know, looking back at it now, it's like, oh, that's terrible. But at the time I was like, man, this is awesome. And it kind of reminded me of that, except it was like this weird magenta color. but he was just the coolest guy. He kind of had that whole Bruce Wayne, Tony Stark, what's the name? Exactly. Lamont Cranston, you know, kind of vibe about him. And something about millionaire playboys like that just Bond. become superheroes. It's like such a staple, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I had the copter.
Okay.
I had the Camaro Trans Am.
Okay.
I had Sly in that like purple, I guess deep blue, motorcycle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then I had I'm losing it. The main Venom guy.
Oh, Miles Mayhem.
The Miles, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I think you're pretty much destined to be a villain when your last name is Mayhem, you know?
Yeah. True. Like true too.
I don't know if there's anything else you can really do, you know, just like Dr. Evil speaking of Austin Powers.
Well, I wrote down some of the names because they were just amazing. There, as part of Mask, you had Hondo Stryker McClain, Buddy Clutch Hawkins, Calhoun Burns, which is just, I mean, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
And then for Venom, there was Lester the Lizard Sludge, Floyd Birdman Malloy. Of course, that sounds like a fighter. And then Bruno Mad Dog Shepherd. I mean,
perfect. Nice. Yeah, one of the early henchmen was Cliff Dagger.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be an alias, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, his name is probably like Eugene or something. And if your name is Eugene, yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, Alex Megabyte Sector.
Yeah, Alex Dusty Sector.
Powder Keg,
yeah.
Haze.
These guys, so I mean, they could be like old 1910 like baseball players, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Brad Chopper Turner, that's perfect for
baseball. That is awesome, anyway. Yeah. You know, I always like Brad Turner because he was a, you know, musician. Like, he was in a band. He played, you know,
yes,
lead guitar and all everything. And I always thought that was, like, so cool, you know. And then, of course, he drove that awesome bike. And So now that I play guitar and sing and you know, playing bands and stuff like that, it's just like, yeah, that guy was,
yep.
I wonder if that's where I got it from. Awesome.
There you go.
But I have yet to join a mobile armored strike command, so that's on my to-do list. Yeah.
Yeah, if I find one, I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks. Just, yeah, I might put out like an ad on Craigslist or something.
There are masks all over the place right now, but I don't think those are the type
I don't that you're, yeah, looking for. Yeah, not quite. There's no special powers. But but yeah, you're right, they all had cool names. Their vehicles had cool names, like
yes,
Firecracker, Gator, Rhino was the
Condor,
that big rig, yeah, Condor, what is it, Thunderhawk, you know, that's,
yeah, exactly, that's so cool.
Thunderhawk,
Stiletto,
yeah, talk about evil. Switchblade was another one.
Yeah, the marketing team really put together some good names.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's not like He-Man where you know, you had like Stinkor or the elephant guy, Snout Spout.
yep. Yeah, my brother is 17 months younger than I am. He went after Transformers and He-Man, and I got G.I. Joe,
nice.
Star Wars, and so
nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, the Star Wars, I mean, Kenner was responsible for the Star Wars, you know, they had those small, about three or four inch figures, and it's because of them that we got G.I. Joe. But yeah, so Kenner gave us the, you know, they gave us the Star Wars, and then they moved on and took the best of G.I. Joe, which their rival was doing, and then they provided us with the Mask. They combined that with, like, I was saying, like a Transformer style kind of thing, and which I thought was really interesting, because the cartoon series, it ran for two seasons, but the second season was based more on the third and fourth series of toy line.
Oh yeah.
And where they were more like racers. They kind of went into like they I guess had enough of fighting terrorists and they're like, you know what we should get into? You know, I think we've settled world peace. Let's get into just, you know, racing. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, by then I didn't have much to do with them. But looking back, I should have, because I'm a big race fan.
Oh, nice.
Maybe that's where I got it from. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, subconsciously they kind of put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that first season ran for, what, 65 episodes? And then season two was...
That's crazy.
Right? Yeah, that's... I mean, that's... Yeah. You're talking like He-Man there. And it's funny, they even played cartoons on, like, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, They had new episodes airing, which I mean, nowadays that's unheard of. You know, you stop like for sure by like the second week of December, but sometimes even by the first week of December. And if you're a cartoon series, generally you kind of stop really by like mid to late October, sometimes November, and then you start like recycling reruns after that. But these guys, they're like, nah, we're not going to do that. push the show. And so they kept going. Mm. But yeah, the 65 episodes. And I mean, that seems like a lot. I guess that's pretty standard because He-Man had 65 episodes too. But nowadays, you don't see that.
No, you got to figure it was, you know, every day after school for 5 days. That adds up very quickly. But still, I mean, looking at it back now, they ran for two seasons, but they did like 90 episodes one season. That's like 5 or 6 years for a normal TV show.
Yeah. And I think it has to do with syndication. Like if they got a certain amount of episodes, then they'd be able to syndicate the show, you know, to sell it. Yep. And then they can play it and get money from there. But, you know, I mean, that nowadays that's just unheard of. Like you have a major production and even cartoons, they only run generally for like 24, you know, 22 to 24 episodes per season. So 65 is just mind blowing.
Yeah. Yep.
but you're right. You know, you think about it in terms of weeks, 5 days a week, that's about what, 13 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So,
yeah.
But, Yeah, animators, they knew they had a job because, I mean, it was just one after another.
For real.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
look at them stimulating the economy.
I think I heard somewhere that a TV show, not maybe not a cartoon, to go into syndication is like 80.
80, I think.
Maybe 100.
So.
So they were like, they passed that, you know, 2 weeks into the second season.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You know, the one that I always wanted, and I wanted it because it was so cool, you know, the opening theme song would start off, and it was the Boulder Hill set. It was like, I think it was a service station, right? Like next to a mountain, and then the whole thing would transform. And I always wanted that one. And of course, it was a little more expensive, so my parents couldn't afford it. But, you know, it was just, it's something that I was so looking forward to it. And my cousin, he had a bunch of Mask toys. He had like almost all of them. So, you know, I always want to go to his house and then we just hang out. And I remember this one time where we were playing and his dad like had to go run an errand. And I think we had to be, you know, 6, but we were so busy playing that his dad just left us in our room and just went out real quick and ran his errand and then came back. And we didn't know anything. We didn't even know he was gone. We found out later.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. There was the 57 Chevy was another one that I wanted and never got. I think that was called Firecracker. And you know, it was like that classic blue with the flames painted on it. And
yep. Awesome.
I think that was the one that was it Hondo drives, I think.
Yeah. I think it was Todd Killian said he had one. I think that's what he said that he had, was the Boulder set.
Oh, man, that's so cool. It's one of those that, you know, I wanted it so bad, and of course I never got it. Came with Alex Sector and Buddy Hawks. Again, with the cool names. With their Jackrabbit and their Penetrator masks.
Yep.
But I remember I actually got them because they sold figures. They were like $3.99 and they sold figures separately.
Yeah, just, yep.
It was like 2 packs. And so I bought them that way since I couldn't afford the whole set.
And those action figures were smaller than the 3/4 size too.
They were, yeah.
Looking back, I didn't realize that, but I've done some research and they were smaller.
I think they're only about 2 inches tall.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. For those of you, and of course, physical bits always kill on a podcast, but but here's my, I'm holding up my Matt Tracker toy that my children play with. And this thing is quite tiny compared to the G.I. Joes, which are about this big.
Yeah.
But a fun fact. So Hasbro, like I mentioned, they bought Kenner in 91. And in 2000, they closed Kenner, but they kept, you know, of course, they still have it, the licenses and everything. But one of the things that they did was in 2008, they actually released and kind of retconned Mask as a sub special ops unit of G.I. Joe. So in 2008, they released a Matt Tracker figure in the 3 3/4 inch, and he is actually a G.I. Joe now. It's a special agent Tracker. And it's crazy, and I'll post a picture of this online, you know, on the all of our social media later on. But yeah, it's really cool. They're currently running about $40 on eBay. I wish I had known. I would have scooped one up from the store when it came out. I mean, that's just so cool. And the best part to me is that, because I'm big into world building. I'm sure you guys, all you listeners out there, have heard whenever I've been on the Tis a podcast as a guest, you know, I always talk about sci-fi fantasy world building kind of thing. So the cool thing about Mask being G.I. Joe is that G.I. Joe actually in the comics, they interacted a lot with Transformers. So that means that Mask, Transformers, and G.I. Joe are all in one shared universe. So eat your heart out, Marvel.
Well, I saw links. I didn't click on any of the stories, but I saw links that they were trying to do a movie.
They are
about all a crossover with all of them.
And so right now I believe F. Gary Gray is tapped to direct, which is awesome. Really cool. He, you know, did some of the Fast and Furious movies and of course he's just, you know, fantastic director. So, and you know, I actually think that, that's kind of the direction they probably should go, you know, where they're slightly grounded, but you know, still have some elements of the fantastical in there.
Yep.
You know, exactly. I mean, a car driving through a building, I don't know about, but Mask could pull it off, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was for the 25th anniversary, right? The G.I. Joe version.
Yes.
And why didn't they have Mayhem as one too? So they could, because he's perfect. Cobra, yeah. Venom, it's all the same.
Well, they did.
I don't know why they didn't.
Why they didn't release a figure? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that retconned Venom to be like Cobra's response to G.I. Joe's Mask initiative.
Yeah.
But I mean, that seems like the perfect opportunity to at least come out with the main guy. But they probably didn't want anyone overshadowing Cobra Commander. I don't know.
Maybe
he's in charge now. I don't remember. My G.I. Joe's a bit hazy now, but.
Well, speaking of a little known fact, well, it may not be a little known fact, but like my parents stored my G.I. Joes in the garage in a box. Okay. And I think it was when I got married, we moved. So I opened them up.
Okay.
And they all had split the rubber band from the torso. I mean, and I had a bunch of G.I. Joes. They're all torn at the waist.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That rubber band. So.
My parents stored most of our toys in the attic. So, you know, the Texas heat pretty much ruined a lot of them. The plastic's kind of melting, but there were several that survived. And the Mask toys, I don't know what their plastic, what kind of plastic, but it held up a bit better than He-Man. The He-Man ones kind of got sticky and melted a bit. But these ones are actually pretty durable, which is kind of cool.
Yep. At some point in the last 25 years, I've seen my Matt Tracker somewhere, and it looked, I mean, the doors opened.
Nice.
He was obviously fine, so, but I have no idea where they went.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we were very blessed that my parents, they decided to move back to their hometown. It's a tiny little town in South Texas, and when they were cleaning out their stuff, they found a bunch of the of our toys that they hadn't sold at garage sales yet, and they're like, here, take them. So so my kids have been playing with all of them, and there was this one big box full of Mask toys, because I did have these, but I also had Volcano, and I didn't have Stiletto, although I had the figure, and I think it's because I bought that figure at a garage sale. But, you know, Condor. I did have Rhino. I got Rhino one year.
Okay.
Which was at that big rig. And that one was really cool because the back kind of came apart, and it had the big missile that you could shoot, and an ejector seat, which was so cool, and like a battering ram. And it was just
awesome.
It was just neat, you know, the way that they designed toys, and you don't see that a lot. in today's toys.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, granted, the seatbelt for Matt Tracker was probably one so it wouldn't fall out when you're making like a, you're flying.
Yeah.
But I mean, the detail was pretty good.
For, sure it was.
A toy in the 80s. So, yep.
Yeah, the seat belts were something. I tell you, when I was six, trying to put him inside and get that seat belt on, that was like a beast, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty hard to get that seat belt on. But
and the little bombs underneath. Underneath. I lost mine. Before.
Mine are long gone.
Yeah.
They're probably still in the attic somewhere. Of the old house.
Well, didn't the helmets, the masks themselves, later on they lengthened them because they were a choking hazard.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I didn't know if you found any of that in your research, but I think I was on a YouTube just looking at old toys.
Oh, nice.
And they said that a lot of them they redid them.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, that makes sense. I mean, these ones I can see there. Let's see. I don't know if you can see it from here, but they do extend a bit in the show. It didn't quite go all the way down. It was kind of ended on that red kind of buffer, you know, at the end, but they do kind of go all the way down. And I know part of that's just so that it'll sit on this tiny little figure better, but also, that makes sense so that kids won't choke, especially after that whole Boba Fett missile.
Yes, the missile. Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was like a huge thing, you know. Which I don't know if you ever watched the show Community. Do you ever watch Community?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. In season five, it's like the two part season finale, and they find that secret tunnel to the founder of Greendale.
And
they find in the background, the Dean is playing with, he finds a Boba Fett toy and the missile like shoots in his mouth and he starts choking. And it was because of that, that whole controversy. Yep. So.
Yep. Their version of McDonald's, the lady who spilled coffee.
Oh,
it was like a big wake up call.
Yeah. Or like Kramer.
Yes. Yes. With Jackie
Childs.
What was his? Yes, that's
Who told her to use the bomb? I didn't tell her to use the bomb.
Oh man. I could bet. Yeah.
But
we could go on for hours on Seinfeld. But.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Seinfeld. I think it was no coincidence that show ended my senior year of high school. It, it was like timed perfectly.
Wow.
Yeah, Seinfeld was awesome. Yep. They have some great Christmas episodes too.
That's right.
That might be for a different, not quite the 80s, but
podcast.
I might make a bonus episode just on that. But
there you go.
But back to Mask.
Yeah.
Did you happen to watch that very first episode, the pilot episode?
I did.
Yeah, that was something.
Yes, it was. Well. Watching
Death Stone.
My youngest daughter and I have been watching Resistance on the Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
And just how those 80s cartoons compared to now, like Resistance, totally different.
Yeah.
So, but you just gotta wipe it away.
You know,
and go
it's
back
funny.
Into this.
They kind of had like of course they had the standards that they had to follow, the FCC guidelines that they couldn't get around and things like that. And but the writing kind of has seemed to evolve to a more, it's not just episodic, you know, there's like a whole through line generally speaking nowadays for a season, there's arch.
Well, that goes back arcs. To, they're not having, that goes back to the part about they're not having as many episodes too. They have the time to, so.
Yeah, you're right.
Instead of, so.
And I hate to bring up G.I. Joe again, although I feel like I can now because Mask is officially a part of G.I. Joe.
There you go.
But,
there you go.
But you know, when G.I. Joe first came out, they had their first five episodes. And it was like a little mini series, you know. And
yes.
I think Mask would have benefited from doing that, you know, maybe providing an origin story.
Yeah.
That's one thing I think the cartoons really missed. And DC Comics, they actually published, they were the ones that picked it up, and they published a little mini, a mini series where they kind of explore how Miles Mayhem and Matt Tracker and I believe Mayhem's brother kind of were, you know, they kind of developed all this technology and stuff together before their their evil tendencies took over and whatever. But you know, I think that would have benefited at least me growing up to kind of see how were they formed, because the first Joe miniseries doesn't really show how they were formed, but you can tell it's the start and they're testing them out where they have to break into that that security base and, you know, whatever. And I think it would have been really cool for Mask to do something like that.
That would be cool.
So we'll see what happens in the this upcoming movie, if Hollywood, you know, ever gets back into production, if things ever go back to normal. Or
no kidding.
But you're there in California, right? What's what's it like out there? Is anything, any rumblings? And
it's just weird. I mean, I was out on a Saturday, well, the Saturday before Easter, getting something for Sunday morning for Easter breakfast, and the roads were, I mean, not very crowded.
Wow.
And it's weird. I mean, it was a restaurant and we ordered it, you know, we ordered, so I picked it up and all the tables, you know, were against the windows. It's a weird time. And there's people that are go walking on our street and they're in the full masks. You know, it's different. Granted, you know, I've got two seniors, well, I guess they are seniors. But, you know, prom, grad night, it's all not going to happen. It's, you know, we'll look back on it someday and think either that was the beginning of this new normal, or we'll just laugh and say, wow, you know, what were we doing?
Yeah.
But we just don't know yet. So.
Well, we'll see if, I mean, hopefully it's, you know, hopefully it's the, well, what were we doing? Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I mean, no, it's better, I guess, to, you know, have done all this and look back rather than, oh man, we didn't do enough, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully, because I know productions have been delayed for quite a bit of, you know, Hollywood movies. And so hopefully they'll get back going. You know, I think that definitely add to the normal. Or at least some sense of normalcy, you know, but, but yeah, I think it would be cool. And in a way, and I hate to say this, cause I always feel so bad when I think things like this, but every time I see like a person in a full, like hazmat suit and things like that, I always think of like Matt Tracker. He's kind of got like racing, he's kind of got like that racing garb, but then when he's got his helmet on, it's very, it's almost like,
I agree.
Like, Marty McFly appears to appears to his dad, you know, and says he's Darth Vader
in the barn.
I always get that vibe, you know. It's kind of got that same feel, and and so I hate to joke about the present climate because it is scary, but at the same time, it just I that's what I picture. Like, I'm just waiting for someone to take off the helmet and get into their vehicle that suddenly becomes a tank.
Exactly. Oh, if only.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I don't know this. The first episode was the Death Stone, that pilot episode.
Yes.
And it's one of those where Hondo, of course, Venom's after this meteorite, supposed to have incredible powers. Hondo gets hurt. Mask manages to defeat Venom and have the meteorite, and they heal. Suddenly this meteorite has very healing properties, and so Hondo's back to normal. So, you know, again, it's kind of follows that same storyline. But one of the things that I really loved most about it was Scott and his little robot T-Bob. You know, they're just they're so out of place in the show. And I know why. It's to kind of draw us kids into it, you know, like, oh, here's some relate to. This is what I would do. This is, he's doing every, saying everything I would say. But yeah, it's just so random. And it's so very 80s to have like a robot in the show.
That has no, yeah, that has no really bearing on the end result.
Yes.
Maybe they were trying for like the 3-year-olds with T-Bob. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I think part of that has to do with R2-D2, you know,
yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
You know, he kind of set everything up. He's this cool little plucky little robot. And from then on, I mean, there was even a robot in, what was it, Rocky IV, Rocky V.
I mean,
that's how popular robots were. So, hey, let's throw in a robot. The kids will love it.
Whenever I see C-3PO, this is way off the base, but whenever I see 3PO, I don't know why, but I always picture Twinkie from Battlestar Galactica. Beck Rogers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Same color. So anyway. And that's kind of T-Bob in a sense.
It really is, yeah. He's just, you know, and he's got that crazy voice. I don't think we should be doing this.
Yes. Which exactly, C-3PO would say that in every movie.
Yes, exactly. So he's kind of like the R2-D2 /C-3PO combination. Yep. You know, like, like you always have that one kind of daring guy that doesn't care, and then you always have that other guy more reserved. It's like, I don't know, the real prim and proper. You know, that the straight man and the other guy and T-Bob is kind of that in one.
Yes.
he goes to distract Venom at some sort of meetup where they're gonna sell their stone, and their buyer, you know, their fence is like, hey, what's going on here? Because this little plucky robot just comes out and Mayhem's right. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh man.
And no disrespect to the writers, because it's hard to come up with good stories, but I don't know about that one. That's kind of rough there. That was pretty rough.
Was there a toy for that?
There was. I actually had that.
That's what I figured, but.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and it was really cool. The arms, of course, didn't bend, but they did go inside and come out, and and his wheels did like go up and down as well.
Yeah.
And his head turned, that top of his head, the dome, and Scott could ride on his back and everything, just like just like in the cartoon. So it was really cool. But although again, that was one of those two packs, those $3.99 two packs that where you just buy the two little guys separately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although I doubt there's people talking, guys talking on a podcast now about T-Bob, though. they're probably searching for the Matt Tracker instead of T-Bob.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he's probably not one of the more popular ones.
Although that might, you know, on eBay, that might go way up there, because I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen the mask toys are actually, you know, if they're complete, especially on card, I mean, those are crazy expensive, which, you know, for, again, you know, like I said, they were like the fifth best selling toy in 86, but I mean, still, that's not something that you would expect to see, because whenever I talk about mask, a lot of people don't really remember it. But
I made a Facebook post the other day about, you know, masks. Everybody has to wear masks. And I wish I'd known that, you know, back in the 80s, because, you know, masks would, you know, be popular or more popular. And I was surprised how many of my friends would like, I had this one. I had that one. Oh, I was really shocked that, but then, you know, when you say it was the fifth largest toy or the best selling, that makes sense.
It seems like loose, pre-owned with several of the things missing. They kind of average out around $30 to $40.
Okay.
And then on card, of course, they're a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Wow.
But I mean, you know, it makes sense. I guess that's the way of the world in general, and the way of toys in general.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Yeah. But there was, G.I. Joe occasionally kind of, I mean, they did a lot more science fiction, but they occasionally did get into the mystical. And I think Mask definitely definitely veered more into the mystical. So like the very second episode, the Star Chariot, you know, there's like a mystical arrowhead that's supposed to point into like an alien spacecraft. And then again, in the third episode, you know, it's like there's like an ancient book that's supposed to have like all these secrets to mythological cities of riches and things like that. And I mean, there's this general thing. Again, episode 10, there's another meteor, you know, it's, but then occasionally
episode 14.
Exactly.
The Statue of Liberty.
I think it was the Statue of Liberty one.
You know, and they show how the magic trick's done and everything. And so I watched that one actually twice because I was just amazed by the trick.
But well, how was it done? Tell us.
It was, oh no, you know, put me on the spot. It was like a two-way mirror.
Okay.
And if the light, I think, shone behind it or through it, it wouldn't be seen. And then you take it away and it would be there, something like that.
Oh, nice.
So it was pretty cool. But I'm like, well, this guy's magic trick is ruined because of Matt Tracker.
Yeah. So I guess he's not going to be invited back to the Society of Magicians annual conference.
Exactly. He's been banned.
That's it. Yeah.
He broke his wand.
I jumped ahead to the episode that premiered on Christmas Day because I was curious to see if there was going to be any sort of Christmas link.
Yeah. And
there wasn't, which was kind of a disappointment to me.
Yeah.
But that one, yeah, that was like a whole like Himalayan treasure kind of a thing. There's a cobra, like an actual snake. And on the back of the snake, its hood, you know, when it's about to strike, when its hood is expanded, there's like a map that's supposed to show you to it. And in that episode, what's his name? Sly, I think, the Leto guy. Yeah. He was actually drawing what was on the back of the cobra's hood. And I was like, why didn't they just get a Polaroid and like take a picture of it? You know? You had Polaroids back then.
They're very true. I think I don't know why I equate Sly with Destro from G.I. Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why, but like the second in command type of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just second in command because I had that toy.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it could be. In command, but. Well, he was pretty cool. I always liked Sly. I mean, he had that, you know, the mustache and like the little not goatee
thing,
like,
or
like soul patch or something.
So
of course he had the shades and the leather jacket. I mean, he was just a bad dude, you know. And so I always thought his look was really cool. Of course Destro, you know, you got the metal head and I still don't know how he moved his mouth, but you know, it was cool in a different way. Yeah, exactly. I'd hate to be him on like a hot Texas day, you know, when it's 114.
All black leather and a metal head.
A metal mask. Oh, the sunburns. Can you imagine?
Yeah, exactly.
But Stiletto, that was a cool vehicle because I remember the sidecar would detach and it would become like an underwater little mini sub kind of a thing.
Yep.
And of course, purple classic villain motif, you know, especially in comic books, the villains were almost always either red and purple or like purple and green. And usually, of course, the heroes would be in some sort of blue, maybe gold, that kind of color that really popped. And I know a lot of that had to do with just what colors were available at the time, and then eventually just became a motif. But I thought the choice to make his vehicle purple, you know, really tied into it. And his leather jacket wasn't quite green, but it wasn't quite black either. It was kind of And so again, you kind of tie in that classic villain motif. And he always seemed like he was just a sneaky punk, you know.
Yeah. Punk is probably the perfect word.
There probably is, yeah. Oh man, I'm sure there's a dad joke in there somewhere, but I'll refrain for now.
Yeah, I'll as soon as we hang up, I'll get it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So, yep.
Yeah.
But The Mask had those watches.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they had sold like a toy version.
You know, that seems something that like that's something that they would have capitalized on. And I don't know if that's just
think.
I don't know why they really didn't, but yeah, I remember because whenever they were called into action, the Mask symbol would appear.
Yep.
And then they'd immediately leave whatever they were doing, even if they were on stage in the middle of a concert. they just get up and go. And I mean, I know they had coloring books, of course. The lunchbox. I think there was a ViewMaster. You know, one of those where you'd put in
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really surprising that they actually didn't have. The watch.
Yeah. They all synchronized on their missions. They'd all synchronized together.
Yeah.
So that would be a cool thing. If I'm sure I would have bought that.
I totally would have too. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep. But you know, their logo is really cool as well.
Yes.
And I agree. Something about it. It's, you know, G.I. Joe, of course, they had the red, white, and blue with the letters, and Mask, of course, had their special letters as well. But then the actual mask that they picked wasn't even one of the more popular masks. So the choice to use that particular mask was always kind of interested me. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know why they decided just, you know, they didn't want to single out, like, Matt Tracker. Like, well, I started this. It should be mine. Of course it should be mine.
Yeah. Well, that's the way normally it would have gone. The leader would, you know. So, yep. Anyway, so I wondered about watches, because I mean, I could totally see it being, all of our friends, you know, run around the neighborhood. Okay, you know, synchronize.
Yep.
So, and then when they listen to their watch, and then we're in the conference room. I guess I'll call it a conference room.
Yeah,
and their helmets came down.
That was cool. Then they were like energized, and I have a degree in physics, but I have no idea what was going on with that. that's some sort of weird. I don't know what was going on. Which was one thing I did notice. Go ahead. I'll get to it in a little.
So the thing that would come down to get all the masks on it.
Yeah,
that was some technology.
Yeah, it was. I wonder how many millions Matt Tracker spent on that.
Exactly. All right, you got to sit right here, because it's going to, you sit, you know, an inch out of the way, it's not going to land on your head.
Yeah, yeah. And don't look directly at it. You'll go blind, exactly. I swear.
Exactly. And then the computer that Matt would find out, you know, who was going to do what mission.
Oh, yeah.
Sounded exactly like the original Star Trek computer.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Well, wasn't it Gene Roddenberry's wife, Majel
Barrett? Roddenberry.
I think it was Barrett first, right? And then it was, Roddenberry.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It was Nurse Chapel.
Yes. Yeah. It was her. We'll just do that. Yeah, exactly.
I can pronounce that, but but yeah, I remember, and the artificial intelligence that had to be, you know, used to decide who was best suited for this particular mission.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some like hardcore programming. So this dude is not only like a millionaire genius, but he's like a super genius there. And apparently very qualified in all sorts of different fields.
Yeah. No kidding.
But I guess that's I guess that's pretty much like standard superhero fare, you know.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Like Hank Pym, you know, Ant-Man in Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Of course, his specialty is you know, dealing with ants and you know, entomology, and of course he discovered the Pym particles. But then all of a sudden he programmed Ultron. You know, he's like this major artificial intelligence guy. So I guess you just kind of span every single every single field.
Yeah. Yep. Why didn't I get picked for that mission?
Yeah, yeah, for real. For real. Computer, how come I wasn't chosen? I want to go to the Bahamas.
Exactly. What are you guys picked in the dungeon? Why do I have to do that one?
Yeah, you always send me to the jungle.
Yeah, my bike doesn't, you know, my bike doesn't go on the water.
Yeah,
that was, no, that was probably, that was a bad one, but.
Oh man. Yeah. It seemed to know who to pick for each particular mission, who would be best suited and which mask they should use. Cause of course, towards the end of the, you know, like the second half of the first season, they started shifting gears and moving towards the second series of toys. So Matt Tracker didn't really use Spectrum much anymore. He used that, oh gosh, what was it called? Like something Flash, not Hot Flash. That's wrong. Ultra Flash. That's what it is.
Okay. There. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd use the Ultra Flash helmet a lot. And that was kind of like that brown and the dark brown and red outfit, you know, it had like that red vest. And, I always thought, you know, that's kind of cool that not only do they have different outfits, you know, different costumes, but they also have different masks particularly suited to do different things.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's really neat because, I mean, now that makes everybody just way more valuable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he had, what, seven vehicles that he, Matt Tracker, I'm looking, seven.
Gosh, this dude, man, he's talented, I'm telling you. Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
James Bond with lots of money.
There you go, yeah.
And well, and a son. I guess that wouldn't be James Bond.
Well, yeah. That was his nephew. I was going to say there was James Bond Jr., that show in the 90s, but.
Yeah,
that was his nephew.
Yeah.
Although I didn't realize he had any siblings. I'm a James Bond fan, and I don't recall any siblings.
Well, so am I. yeah. I'm a big James Bond fan, and I thought he was an only child that.
Yep.
Parents were gone from the picture.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh man, Bond. I should do an episode on Bond. That'd be pretty rad. Hey,
if you want to do it, I'll answer the call.
All right. We'll put it in the schedule.
There's a couple of Bond movies in the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, my favorite is Connery.
Oh, okay.
But Roger
Moore. I'm a Roger Moore guy.
Oh, okay. I think I prefer Connery mostly because he starred in my favorite, and I know we're getting off topic here, but mostly because he starred in my favorite film, which is based on my favorite book, which was From Russia with Love.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's more under the radar as far as the movies go.
Yeah.
You know, Goldfinger being the most popular of the Connery eras, but I really like From Russia with Love. It's the plot is great.
It's a good movie.
And the book was fantastic. And ends on a cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah.
Where you think Bond is, he's dying. You know? You think he's going to pretty much not going to make it. And then all of a sudden, oops, spoiler alert. But
yeah, I've only read a couple of the books and that's one of them. And at the end I was like, what's going to happen here? But then I guess the movies, they did them in a different order.
They did.
Than what he originally wrote. And that's why that cliff, you know, the cliffhanger, or, you know, it's why it's set up that way, because the movies were done differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was the second movie. Whereas I think it was like the fifth or sixth book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Roger Moore was great. And sounds like a plan, man.
Okay.
I'm sure we could talk forever on Moore as Bond.
Yeah. And I'll keep my Miss Moneypenny impersonation to a very, you know.
Oh no, that's gonna be in the show. Definitely. But well, let me ask you, what if you had a choice of vehicle that you could, you know, that you could drive, and which would it be? And I know, I know which ones you said you have, but out of all the vehicles, you know, there was the, like I said, the 57 Chevy, you know, the motorcycle that turned into the chopper, the firecracker pickup truck, you know, all those ones, which one would you like to drive?
Actually, I think it was Brad Turner who had the helicopter.
Yep.
But he also had a stock car. That's the one I would probably choose.
See, I think you're right.
Let me see here.
Yeah, the T-Bird, right? It was a Razorback.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's it. That's probably the one I would choose.
Oh yeah, that thing's pretty rad.
How about you?
So, of course, I want to say Thunderhawk, but not doing that one. There's actually one that I have. It was a Corvette, and it was called Raven.
Oh.
And yeah. It was kind of like Calhoun a like turned into like a hovercraft kind of a thing. You know, kind of that could go like on the water and stuff like that. And it kind of reminded me of that old 80s cartoon Pole Position, you know, that where the cars would turn. But yeah, that one was cool. It was a black Corvette, and it shot like little razor blades. Not real razor blades, of course, but you know, razor blades out of the front, out of the grill, and the doors would come down, and like the whole hood would just like flip over. And I mean, it was cool, man. It was just a cool car. I think that's the one I'd like to drive. Plus, I'm just not very good on motorcycles, so.
Yeah. I think that was piloted by Mr. Burns' son, Calhoun Burns.
Oh, I think you're right. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Calhoun.
Such a great name.
That is definitely a great name, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what these guys, they really like stretch their imagination chops here, you know.
I could see every one of these names in a John Wayne movie or in a boxing rink.
Yes, yeah. It's like a whole high school's worth of like great names, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Calhoun Burns and Jacques Lafleur and
exactly, yeah.
I mean, just some great names here. But I think that would be pretty cool to be driving that Corvette personally.
I agree. Well, with Corvettes, there was an A-Team. They were the four figures of the A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
They were action figures.
Uh-huh.
And then they had these generic bad guys. I don't even know if they had names.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, the A-Team, every week, you know, they just helped.
That's true.
Someone random. So it's not like they had like super villains, except, you know, the was it a colonel or general that was always after them?
Yep.
Yeah, that's. Yep. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
But that Corvette was like, when I was growing up, that was the car I wanted, was that 85 or whatever Corvette with the racing red stripe down the back. That was nice. That was the pinnacle of fashion for me.
you didn't want the van?
That van was cool.
That van was really cool. Yeah, that's actually the van that made me start liking vans.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That was cool.
There was I think there was a van in Mask. There was a couple of vans, and one of them was I had Volcano. Of course, it was like an all terrain van. It's got had the big monster truck wheels on it. You know. But I remember the cool thing about that one was it actually had batteries, and like you'd turn it on and it would drive by itself. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And of course it would turn into like a tank kind of a thing, which is always nice.
That first episode had a van, I believe.
I think you're right.
I'm just trying to look through my cheat sheet here, which, you know, is Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Hmm. Yeah, that's all right. Well, I know there was an RV. There was a.
Okay, that's it.
And I remember my cousin had the RV, and I thought it was the coolest because the sides would come down, and there was like a little jet or like a little mini plane in it.
Yeah.
And then it would just take off like that, awesome. And I thought it was so awesome, and I wanted it so bad, but you know, I mean, with He-Man and Voltron and Transformers and you know all these Thundercats, you know, I mean. You couldn't get all of one thing.
No.
There's only so much to go around. And so
exactly.
That was one that I ended up never getting. But but it was fun. Yeah, I'd just go over to his house and we'd play.
There you go. At least you had a friend that had them. So you could touch them and feel them.
Yeah.
Play with them.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
My best friend growing up had the flag, the USS flag, the, you know, the aircraft carrier from.
I had a friend. In fact, we just talked about it last episode. I had a friend that had the flag, and it took up like most of his room. It was really cool because I mean it's just so massive. It was huge, you know. Little kids. I mean, we just didn't compare to it.
No.
And all the vehicles actually fit on it, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There's a couple of those play sets. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the Boulder Hill set like that. Of course it wasn't as huge as the flag, but still it was kind of like a home base, like a Castle Grayskull type thing And so, my cousin had that one too.
Wow.
And so, we would just go over and just play. But,
yep.
Awesome. Well, I gotta ask, do you have a happiest memory? This is for something I like to call a happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with, Danny K.
Yeah.
a happiest memory of Christmas, or at least a happiest memory with Mask.
I do have my Christmas memory, and it's happy, it's sad, and then it's happy again.
Okay.
Actually, it's based on G.I. Joe, actually.
Okay.
I woke up that morning on Christmas morning, and I had the F-14 waiting there for me.
The Sky Striker?
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I had that. That was very cool. I actually I got that one for Christmas. That was really cool. Yeah.
So we had to wait for my parents to get up, and then they were up, and I tore that thing open. And one of the fins was warped somehow.
Huh.
And so my dad, being the dad that he was, mm-hmm. took me the next day to Kmart.
Okay.
And of course, there nobody had them.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
I had to wait for, I think it was like 3 weeks.
Oh,
and that's
no.
my happiest moment was when I finally got it.
Yeah.
So, but that thing was, I was so excited to have that.
Yeah, it was a really cool toy, and it came with, I think his name was Ace, is that right?
Yeah,
that would have been, see, this is the kind of thing, I wish they had a Matt Tracker 3¾-inch figure, because that would have been so cool to play, you know, I mean, I totally would have put him in the jet, you know?
Exactly. I didn't like the figure. I didn't like Ace because he looked like he was like a wannabe astronaut.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
But I mean, I could get over that very quickly.
Yeah. It was kind of like an almost a puffy type suit, which is strange.
Yes. Like the big, like half of a
like fishbowl helmet or something.
Exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Exactly.
Yeah. I remember my happiest memory my happiest memory of Christmas with Mask was when I actually got that Rhino set.
So
the Rhino was that big rig with the, you know, all the bells and whistles, and I remember that being under the tree, and that one was crazy cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
So that was a nice little adventure there to get that open and play with it, and then start mixing and matching, and having a little, the Venom guys come and try to take over, and then, they sat in the ejector seat. Bam, they're gone.
Cool. Awesome.
But yeah, it was great.
The bad thing about Easter morning was, you know, by 2 or 1 o'clock, they got to put it all away. The family's coming over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. We'd wake up and we'd go to, of course, we'd go through the whole thing. We'd open all our presents. And then at about 10 o'clock, they're like, all right, we're going to grandma's house. And then we'd stay over there for most of the day. And of course, all, you know, we were allowed to take like one toy with us and everything else we had to leave behind. And of course, it couldn't be anything that we really liked because we didn't want to like lose anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel your pain there. Yeah.
So every year.
Yes, sir.
It's what Christmas for is seeing family. So.
Yeah, you know, and I'd still kind of, I miss those days where, you know, you'd go to the house and like everybody would be there, all the cousins, and you know, I'm Hispanic, so we have like millions of cousins, but it was just, you know, it was jam packed with everybody. And so I do kind of miss that, but at the same time, sometimes it is nice to just be with your own little family and enjoy the stuff that you got and your own little family as well, especially as a kid.
Exactly. Yep. So, yep.
But, all right. So what I want to do now, I want to get to my favorite segment, which is Gag Me with a Spoon.
I know it's coming.
This is the segment where, where we're each going to do an impression of one of the worst moments of the show. And whoever does the best impression, we're going to leave it up to the viewers to vote. Okay. But whoever does the best impression will get some sort of prize that I haven't decided yet. Okay. Maybe a sticker of the show or, you know, or something. Cool. But but whoever, yeah. So as a guest, I will let you go first.
Well, I knew this was coming.
Okay.
So I'm going to do Sly. And I preface this by saying it sounds to me like he's Christian Slater, Jack Nicholson, and John Wayne mixed together.
That's a great description of Sly.
So saying that, I'm going to try and do it, which would be different.
Okay.
No one can survive that crash. Totally didn't do it, but
that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I actually, my part that I thought was the most ridiculous was from one of the very first scenes, and it's Cliff Dagger. Okay. And you know, he's the kind of like the moron of the group, the muscle.
Yes.
And so he goes, okay, let me see if I can do this. He goes, what a bunch of suckers.
just like, pretty good.
Oh, thank you. Good. Thank you. That's just one of those lines that I don't know if that would that make it into a show nowadays with the quality of writing that we kind of have now. But so that's it. And you, dear viewers, you may decide which one of us did it better. Who wore it better, I suppose.
I'm going with Jerry.
Oh, okay. All right. I can dig this. I'll send myself a sticker.
There you go.
No, but before we go, G.I. Joe, and you know, now that we know Mask is officially part of G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing was half the battle. So I'm going to ask you, Michael, what's the other half of the battle?
I would say knowing which Mask agent should go on each mission.
Nice. All right. I can dig that. For me, if knowing is half the battle, and if the theme song tells us that no one knows what lies behind a man's charades, so I'm going to say that the other half is what lies behind a man's charades.
All right. There you go.
Oh man, you know, it's been great chatting with you, and we've had quite a few laughs, and just good reminiscing about this kind of stuff. What do you got going on? Yeah. Anything you want to plug?
No, not really. I'm on Facebook, and I'm thinking about doing a podcast, but I'll let you know when and if that happens.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Now, just sheltering in place.
All right. Well, that's good. It's good advice, guys. So let's do that. And on that note, like I said, you can reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. Our website's coming pretty soon. So this is a new segment that I like to call Chatting with the Littles. So I'm here with little number one and my almost 8-year-old daughter. And I have to say, hey, do you remember playing with Daddy's Mask toys?
No.
Well, you probably don't because you were little, but you've played with them before. Which one do you think is your favorite?
Scott and T-Bob.
You like Scott and T-Bob? Why?
Because T-Bob is funny. And Scott can ride T-Bop.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. Okay, which one of the vehicles was your favorite?
The flying car.
Thunderhawk? The red one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That's my favorite, too.
And the blue one that turns into a boat. I mean, the black one.
Okay, so you mean Raven?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of those.
I like those, too. Yeah, those are also my favorites. And if you were little in the 80s, when Daddy was little, would you have wanted Santa to bring you a masked toy?
Maybe.
Maybe? Yeah, that makes sense. What else would you have wanted Santa to bring you?
I don't know. Maybe some more Transformers or GoBots.
A girl after my own heart. All right, well, thank you, little number one, for being here. And I'll get back to our regularly scheduled program.
But for now, this is Jerry D. And thank you again, Michael. It was great having you. And I'm going to say, later, dudes.
What did you want to say?
That we should have a challenge. And the challenge would be that all the kids would have to create a mask, helmet.
Helmet or like Santa hat?
Well, a hat.
A mask-inspired Santa hat.
Yes.
All right. Well, you heard it here, guys. Go out and make yourselves a mask-inspired Santa hat.
And make sure you show it to us later, dudes.